I'm on now, Austin.
Good morning, everyone.
Last week we took a detour from Joshua and we talked about the brevity of life. I thought that was appropriate. From our perspective, we lost last week two gentlemen, one in Florida that some of you know, Arnold Snobble, and then our brother who has been for a long time part of this group, once a shepherd in this group, my father-in-law, Ward Ellsworth. So they were 85 and 83, respectively. I was talking mainly to young people. That seems like a long, long time, but we wanted to focus on the brevity of life and how short it is, how brief it is. And we spent a little time in James looking at his illustration of life as a vapor and how it just disappears so quickly. One who contemplates the brevity of life is one who is ready to die. And that was our main theme last week. But this week, we're going to get back to Joshua. If I can find my... Let's see. Yes, here we go. Here we go. Does everybody have their Bibles with them, whether they're electronic or hard copy? Turn to Joshua chapter 12, chapter 11, actually. Uniqueness. Everybody have a family news? An outline on the back there. There's not a whole lot of room to add notes, but I'm going to be flying through here, so it's going to be a little challenging. Uniqueness is a major theme in God's creation. For example, the stars are so numerous they cannot even be numbered. Yet each star varies in size and appearance and in countenance, its brightness. And we can probably really only see that when we're looking through a telescope and have a scientist tell us what we're looking at. But they have their own little characteristics, those stars, and there are millions and billions of them. Can't even count them. In nature, there are billions of snowflakes every year, yet each is unique and different. Sadly, in our recent history, the word snowflake has taken on a totally different connotation. We're talking about the snowflakes we find in nature, not the ones that developed after this last election. All right? So these kind of snowflakes, they're unique and different in size and shape, and just astounding. Just to think about wintertime, when we do get snow, and you're watching snowflakes come down, how they're all different. Uniqueness in nature. And uniqueness, consider life forms, plants and animals, hundreds of thousands, all unique species, all special in their own way. And then it brings you to how especially true this is of the 7.2 billion people, precious souls, that inhabit the earth. Each individual, though sharing a common heritage, this is what's fascinating, has unique characteristics. You, brethren, have your very own copy of DNA, which is distinctly different from everyone else in the world. And you can just see that just in this one picture. That guy is different from that guy, and that woman looks different just from outward physical appearance. And then you take in the whole makeup, the internal makeup. We are all different. We're distinctly different from everyone else in the world. That's what impresses me about that show, Forensic Files, which I watch a few episodes now and then. It's depressing because almost every episode is about some murder or murders that have taken place. And that's kind of hard to swallow. But
where the hope is in that show is that the evil perpetrators and the evildoers are often caught by their own DNA, saliva left behind, a thumbprint, a fingerprint, a footprint, a heel print. It's just fascinating how forensic science can get down to where they can trace and track a person and connect a person to the crime scene because of their DNA, some form of DNA that they left behind. What's that passage of scripture? Your sins will find you out. That's what that show's all about. So it's just amazing. Think about the implication of you possessing your own DNA copy. No one else in all of history has your unique history. No one else in God's great design has your divine design. And no one else shares your blend of ability and personality and ancestry. I have no doubt that when you were born, when Larry was born, Carm was born, Preston, and Dawn, that the angels were looking down and they said and they declared, we've never seen one like that before. And they never will. They never will again. You are heaven's first and final attempt at you. Did you ever stop to think about that? You are matchless, you are unprecedented, you are unequaled, and congratulations. Consequently, you can do something that no one else can do in a way that no one else can. Now, others can cook a meal, is that right? You can cook a meal, but others can cook a meal. Or play the piano, but not with your touch. Others can organize an event, but not with your flair. Others can manage a team, baseball team, soccer team, volleyball team, business team, but not with your style. Others can teach children, but not with your patience. You aren't the only person with your skill, but you are the only person, as this says up here, with your version of your skill. And I've never thought about this a whole lot in the past, but this is what we need to kind of think about. This is building our thesis and our theme this morning. No one else, you're the only person with your version of your skill. You have entered the world uniquely equipped. David says, you were knit together. We were knit together, woven together in the dark of the womb. It's a New Living Translation of Psalm 139:13. Verse 15, the Amplified Version puts it this way, paraphrases it this way. Intricately and curiously made, parentheses, as if embroidered with various colors. And it's all summed up in 14. Indeed, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what do you want to call it, brethren? What do you want to call it? A gift? An anointing? A divine spark? Some people like to use the word call. A call, C-A-L-L. The terms are different, but the truth is the same. The Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now that's plucked right out of context. The context there is spiritual gifts, and we're going to touch on that in our series here on this topic of bouncing off of Joshua. All right, therefore, we all have our unique place in the body of Christ because he has given us gifts. That's one reason. So our major, our premise this morning is this point number one here. Uniqueness is not only a major theme in creation, it's a major theme in the Bible, and it's a theme in Joshua. The overall theme, when we get to chapter 11, 12, and then you read all the way to 22, the overall theme, which we're not going to spend time on, is the fact that God keeps his promises. Here it is. He's brought them into the land. He assigns the land. That is a fulfillment, one of the promises to Abraham, which we've been studying on Sunday morning, and hopefully you're familiar with, that through Abraham's seed, especially Isaac, would come a great nation. They'd be given land, and then all the families of the earth would be blessed. Here in Joshua, you're seeing that second one, the land. I'm giving you the land. Here it is. Take it. Take your assignment. You can see uniqueness, and along with that, you can see that a uniqueness. There's the overall promise. Here's the land I promised to Abraham. So take your lots. Take your possession. Now, the majority of the chapters, 13 to 22, advance one command. Here's what you want to remember. Here's what was impressed upon the Israelites. Know your territory and possess it. Know your territory. Take it. They've already taken the land and dispossessed the enemies, and they've eliminated the contrary seats of authority. And you can see this in Joshua chapter 12. Here's the list of defeated kings. The king of Jericho, 1. The king of Ai, 1. Bethel, 1. Jerusalem, 1. King of Hebron, 1. Eglon, 1. You go all down that list. He lists the kings that were defeated. And what's the message? You've taken the land. Now take possession. The rest of the book details, chapters 13 and 22, details the distribution of the land. And each tribe... Did you notice this? Have you noticed this in the past? Each tribe is given a distinct and unique territory and assignment. So make no mistake, church. The inheritance was for everyone. All the Hebrews were welcomed into Canaan. The young, the old, the feeble, the humble, the proud, the mean, the beautiful, the ugly, the forceful. They were all welcomed into Canaan. The inheritance was universal, but the assignments were individual among the tribes, and no one was left out. And when we start making application to us in Christ's kingdom, I want us to think of the tribes as individuals in Christ's kingdom. We're going to actually focus on individuals in Christ's kingdom. Here, we're looking at the tribes as a whole. They were given land, and no one was left out. Their unique land grants are described in chapters 13 to 22. If you can't fall asleep tonight, open up your Bible and read Joshua chapters 13 to 22. Okay, Ken? Joshua shifts from an action novel to a land survey. Just like that. I mean, think of some of the action that we've covered in Joshua up to this point. Anybody remember something? They cross the Jordan River, the water part. They go to Jericho. Joshua sees the commander of the Lord's hosts, which I think is Christ. And they surround Jericho and the walls fall. Then they have that debacle with Achan and finally defeat Ai. And then some kings get together and say, wow, oh, Gibeon deceives them. Then kings get to say, we're going to go and destroy Gibeon. So five kings approach the Israelites and Joshua. And they defeat them. And Joshua, this was our last lesson, calls upon the Lord, prays an audacious, bold prayer, and the sun stood still. That's a lot of action in those first few chapters. And then you get to chapter 12, then or 12, poof. And it's all this description of borders and east and west and north and south, this hill and that hill. It's a land survey. It's kind of like reading somebody's will or... what's worse, a mortgage contract or something? Something that an attorney wrote. Well, that's where we get this idea. That's where we get our ideas for portioning out land. It's probably from here. But it's boring. It makes for dull reading unless you stand to inherit something. So I picture the Israelites be perking up here because Joshua was going to sign the territory. And I imagine that they were alert and they all stood in position to receive. Each tribe called forward. Reuben, Gad, Manasseh. Each parcel was different. For example, Judah's parcel was large and central. Dan's section was smaller and coastal. Even the assignments were unique. For example, the tribe of Levi was not given land, were they? If you recall, Who were what were they given? God himself, really. They were given God himself. They were, yeah, that's right. As priests, they were to serve Jehovah God. And they were given some cities. Is that right? But they had a holy assignment. They were to lead worship and teach the Torah. And they were given 48 cities and their suburbs around there. The big message is this right here, folks. We're all awake? Brothers, sisters, here's a message to them back there. No one gets everything, but everyone gets something. That's really what took place. They were to drive out the remaining enemies, build their farms, cultivate their fields, find their lot in life, so to speak, and dwell in it. So the message again, know your territory, not only possess it, but inherit it. Take it. Take your territory. Let's apply that to us. Each of us, not some of us, not a few of us, not the elite among us, each of us has a special way, an inclination. What do you want to call it? Tendency, facility, a natural strength, a beauty that longs to be revealed and released. Think of we don't have a lot of oak trees around here. My sister-in-law's from the back east. Are there a lot of oak trees in your town? Yeah. I suppose Oak Harbor was named after somebody who planted a bunch of oak trees over there. Oak tree is a big tree. It can grow into a big tree. What does it come from? How big's an acorn? Is that about right, Karen? Big tree. It came from this little acorn. The little acorn within. Just think of that little acorn. And inside, pressing against the walls, just waiting to bust out and grow into that big tree. Potential. Pressing against the walls of the shell to grow into that big tree. You've seen it, right? You've seen it in other people. Potential that has been thoroughly utilized. Maybe you've seen it in yourself, but you've seen it in other people. It's potential that's there and they've been thoroughly utilized, or it's been squelched and wasted. And that's sad to see, isn't it? Play to your strengths and to your unique gifts, because this is your destiny. This is what here what we're talking about. Know your territory and inherit it. This is your destiny. This is you at your best. This is you when you're standing at the intersection of your skill and God's will, or God's call, if you want to use that word. You're standing at the corner of Promised Land and Glory Days Boulevards. This is your Canaan. Sadly, many people stop short of their destiny. They settle for someone else's story. My mom and dad did this. Dad was a farmer. Mom and dad were farming, so I guess that's what I'll do. Dad was a mechanic. Dad was a logger with Uncle Ben. I guess that's what I gotta do. Mom was a nurse. Mom was a school teacher. I guess that's what I have to do. Maybe, but not necessarily. If you miss your calling, you risk leading dull, joyless, and fruitless lives. How sad to never sing the song that God wrote for your own unique voice. And I'm using that figuratively. Song and voice, figuratively. Beloved, quarry and mine the jewels from your own soul so that you can cross that finish line with arms stretched heavenward and declare, I was made to do this. I feel God's pleasure. Some fit in, some people settle in, some people blend in, but they never find their call. Don't make that mistake. Now, I've been using the example of livelihood and making a living, but here's what I want you to think about this week and next week, brethren, because we're going to switch it to the spiritual. Think about the gifts that God gave you that you use in your livelihood and your career, and I'm including homemakers. and how those gifts can be used in the kingdom of God, or should be used. That's where we want to make the connection. That's where we want to point. I've used the term destiny about twice this morning. Destiny implies something foreordained and often suggests a great or noble course or end. Well, really, that's what Ephesians 2:10 is talking about. Here it is here. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here's where we're blending this idea of careers and livelihood more with what we can do in Christ's kingdom, in the family of God, using those same gifts that he gave us to do the other. Does that make sense? Let's look at this paraphrase. It is God himself has made us what we are and has given us new lives in Jesus Christ. And long ago ages, he planned that we should spend our lives in helping others. That's the Living Bible paraphrase. Wow. Folks, your existence is not accidental. And your skills are not incidental. So we are going to talk about next week and maybe the next on how to use our gifts, what the purpose is in Christ's body. Psalms 33:15. It is he who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. God, who has formed your hearts, he knows all about your ancestry, doesn't he? He knows all about your IQ. He knows all about your interests, your skills, your abilities, your emotional makeup, your strengths, your quirks, and your improvement areas. He knows all about these things. So therefore, he knows what you are capable of and what you're not capable of. And I know for some of us, it takes us a while to figure that out, find out what direction we're going. But we especially want to zero in and think about how we can utilize these wonderful gifts. And we'll get specific next week or the next one, what gifts he has given us to serve in his wonderful church, his called out group of people, especially in a local assembly of people, of his people, his kingdom. And we're using Joshua in chapters 11 to 22 as a basis, an example for that, to bounce off of. Years ago, I never would have thought, reading through Joshua 11 through 22 and all those land descriptions, that you could get anything out of it. But there's actually two or three lessons that we can glean, short ones, so that you don't doze off as if you're reading Joshua 11 through 22. Remember, if you want to sleep tonight, read those chapters. But think about, what are they here for? What are they here? Is there anything we can learn from them? And that is, the big message is, you each have an assignment. You each have a gift that's been given to you, or multiple ones. So take it, take hold, take possession of it. Kyle, let's sing that song you selected. We usually stand, stretch our legs. Let's do that.